Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is April 28th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Kelly, I have something super quick unrelated our topic today.
Okay.
We Motor Vitality has been slammed with hackers trying to get into our website. And this morning, Kelly had an email that came from some other email address at motorvitality.com. So I'm just asking for everyone to be kind of vigilant. And if for some reason you get a weird email, not the normal ones that Corey sends out, but you get an unusual email from us, please, please, please contact us right away. And you can just do that info at Motor Vitality or to one of us, give us a call because, we don't know if somebody has gotten, and so far our firewalls and every or whatever Kelly has set up has done a really good job, but they have been diehard trying to break in this past weekend.
We did a call on this. We might be due on this one because it's an interesting topic. Way back when, and this is something for some of you, we could even take this all the way down to the sales level. I used to, just in terms of backing up and making sure that you have everything backed up, everything's cloud-based now. When I was in sales, I had a computer that had a hard drive crash. Jen, that happened to you too. You lost like 2-3 months of stuff when you were in sales, I remember. I'm an avid backupper, even not just on the cloud now. I back everything up. I've got everything like multiple locations that are not attached to even the internet. But it is a big deal. So years ago when Motor Vitality first started, our site got hacked. And I created the website and built it up and put it up. This was way before the marketplace and everything. And we had, we got hacked. And it was right before one of the big conventions. And we were really promoting the website and some of the tools that we had on it and stuff like that. And then suddenly we started getting people saying, I'm not able to get on. Or I went on and I went to your website and it sent me to a porn site or there were all kinds of virus things and, virus protectors and stuff like that I went to. And, my thinking back then was I don't need to spend that much money on security, just some basic little stuff because, who's going to care about my little bitty website? Well, the reality is when people are trying to get in, especially if you're selling things on the website or you have traffic there, that's the websites that do generally get attacked because they are less likely to have state-of-the-art security on them, so there are not firewalls and that type of thing. So to Jen's point, it is, if you have a website and you have a business that's sort of based on the website, damage can be done if people are going to your website and they are, getting redirected. Worst case, they can't get information on you. Or best case, they just can't get information on your company. Worst case, they redirect to a lot of, horrible stuff. So it's a good idea it can get costly, even for our site. I spend a lot of money to keep our site protected and scanned and backed up because, there are phishing attacks. The one that Jen was referring to this morning, I just thought it was comical because, it's such an easy thing for somebody to send an email. This one came out and said that it came from the admin and said that they were going to discontinue my email, which obviously is funny because I'm the admin. so And they just simply went in. So it's always a good idea. Again, I think that's a good suggestion for salespeople and owners alike, just to be vigilant, to make sure, you know, that if something seems unusual, to make sure you're not clicking on it and just willy-nilly, making sure that you verify where it comes from. It's interesting. We had if you are selling like product on your website, some of you are selling filters or doing that sort of thing. You know, you can take a look at that too. What we've been getting hit with in the last couple of weeks has been somebody trying to, they've targeted our site to try and buy like random stuff off the website using what's obviously stolen credit cards, because they will get 5 or 6 failed orders on the site right in a row. They're just sending out somebody bought a stopper, rubber stopper for one of the flasks, you know, and little teeny tiny things, just trying to see if the credit cards will go through. Unfortunately, they haven't. We've got everything on it, but it's a good idea to be vigilant about that. So Jen, I think that's irrelevant. Hey, what did we learn this last week? That's a relevant thing. Elaine, I'm always thinking of you in terms from the dealer perspective, because I love that you're here, and a lot of the other people are sales people, but, and we could have a whole topic on this sometime, but you guys, I imagine, have all kinds of stuff in place for your website, right? I mean, that's something, you can do everything else, so right.
We have a room where all our IT is handled, and then we have a company that monitors everything for us.
Yeah.
So we outsource to a company.
It's critical. I figured you would. I would love to know what, because you're way bigger than, you know, in terms of the site and stuff than our tiny little company here. But anyway, Jen, thank you for that. Anybody else have anything before, you know, I'm going to hand it over to you. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm a little under the weather today. So and Jen's going to mostly lead this topic. But does anybody else have anything else to jump in on there? All right, Jen, I'm going to hand the floor over to you then.
Okay. Yep. So I came across within the last few weeks, I came across a manager that had called me and asked how to handle a situation. And I want to open this up. I want this to be more of a discussion. I want to hear everyone's viewpoints. It's kind of funny because I discussed this with my boyfriend, who used to work in the industry. He was in sales for many, many years, very successful, and has retired from the industry. But he had a very different viewpoint than I did. So I want to hear all viewpoints on this. And I know I have to kind of tread lightly because this happens in every company. However, so a sales professional that we've hired in the past, their company, they give out freebies. And their freebies are bottled water. Now, they're giving them out to builders, and they're giving them out to pretty much anybody that would hand out bottled water, maybe like car dealerships. Their car dealerships, it says there's a coupon on there that says free oil change. And then if they end up purchasing something from the company, then they can use that bottle of water for a free oil change. And I think I have the specifics might be a little bit different, but I know there's things such as that. Anyways, now with the builders, it's free advertising. Basically, all of it is free advertising. This company bottles their own water, and they bottle and label it themselves. They have a bottling facility that's licensed, and at any rate, so right now they're shorthanded. Everybody is shorthanded, okay? And they don't have anybody to bottle the water. So they've asked the sales professionals to bottle the water and to label the water. Now, the sales professionals are straight commission, and not many house leads come from the company. So it's very imperative that they are out there door knocking, building relationships, doing, you know, everything that we talk about to create their own business. However, there is some resistance on bottling the water and labeling them when they're not getting paid an hourly rate. So with all of that being said, I want to hear opinions. And I know we have some owners and some managers on here. I know we have some sales professionals on here. What is the opinion of everybody
Can I expand the question a little bit and to go beyond just bottled water? Because when I was in sales, they would sometimes buy glasses, these cups, mm-hmm. Like glass glasses for the tea demo, you know, and they would supply those for the salespeople to do a tea demo. They would have logos on them from the company and everything. And I actually preferred to use the ones that look fancy, you know, like the fancy tea. And I would go to the Dollar Tree and I would buy, I mean, every house, you know, that was something that I bought on my own because I liked leaving the non-logoed glasses that looked fancy, you know, when I did the tea demo at the house. And that was something that I opted to do on my own, out of my own pocket. You know, there were times that I would do a lot of things to promote. So if I could expand the question a little bit, I think would be, you know, beyond just your scenario there with like the bottled water, the label bottled water, how much responsibility should a straight commission or a commission-based sales professional have in providing their own tools if the company is not able to or not willing to provide them? You know, what would that make sense? Does that make sense to expand the question that way beyond just the label, the bottled water labels? So I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. And so, I have similar experience, but yeah, I want to hear opinions. Anybody?
Well,
nobody's going to give. Okay. So I'm going to give you my opinion and just from based off of my experience. And then I can also give you my boyfriend's opinion based off of his experience. And anybody, please jump in because this is, I want this to be an open discussion because there's two sides to every story. So when I was in sales, one of the things that, now first off, I was out in the middle of nowhere and everybody's heard this story, but I had to build relationships and I had to go above and beyond. The company that I worked with, the only advertisement that they had that they paid for was a half-page ad in the Monthly Shopper. Now, one of the things that I did was I printed off flyers. Now, I made up a really nice flyer, and I went around and I put them in or on mailboxes, or I went up to doors and in areas that I could, most areas I couldn't because it was farmland and you just don't want to go on somebody's half mile driveway and go knocking on their door. So, but I had to print those off and fold them. And I'd go ahead and if, now my office was over an hour away, so if I wanted to print them off at the office, I could, or I could print them off on my own printer, but I had to pay for my own ink. And then I usually would pay my kids a couple bucks to fold them up for me so I wouldn't have to mess with that as I was driving around. Also, I got familiar with a lot of the realtors. And when they sold a house, I would put together a little basket. And in that basket, I would put like a couple little bags of chips and granola bars and bottles of water and a coupon for a free. I would come and look at their equipment and explain their equipment to them. And so those were all things that I did on my time out of pocket because those were helping me get a sale. Now, on the flip side of this is when I'm, you know, I talk about my boyfriend who used to be in sales, he says, yeah, but that pulls them out of the from doing canvassing. And if somebody was getting paid an hourly rate, then why isn't that sales professional getting paid the hourly rate? So it's kind of a catch-22. And I want to hear everybody else what their thoughts are.
I can go. This is Elaine.
Okay.
California regulates all that for us, so we don't have a choice. Not that we wouldn't do it anyway. Sometimes it goes a little bit overboard, but most people have a car because it's less expensive for us for them to have a car and a gas card. If we don't have enough cars, we pay mileage at like 59 cents a mile. Everyone gets an hourly rate, and it's $18 an hour. And so any meeting they're on, any demo they do, anything they do, they're on the clock. And then we have like geotags. We have phones that, you know, they clock in. Then they get commission on top of that. They also have 401k. They get vacation. They get paid sick leave is a California law. So some of that stuff is regulated. And then they get health insurance. So, you know, we don't have a choice, not that it's not a good idea, but I will say that providing all of those benefits does help us with retention and recruitment.
Yeah, sure.
But it's very expensive.
And don't be surprised if people on this call start reaching out to you now, Elaine, and saying, hey, are you guys hiring? Can we move to California?
I'll tell you, Elaine, I would not want to be HR in the state of California. That's for sure.
Yeah, we've got one employee in California, and Jen spends a lot of time doing a lot of extra stuff that for them. So, I've got a couple, and you're right, Elaine, sometimes that's mandated by that. But what about, you know, would you have, as an owner, what's your perspective, you know, if somebody made their own flyer, like if they were allowed to produce their own flyer or their, you know, or to go out, let's say they were out there canvassing and creating business.
No, we don't, mostly because my husband's, you know, on the WQA board, and so we have to make sure that it meets all, you know, standards. It has our license number on it, which is California law. We can't have any language or anything about health benefits or, you know, anything. So, no, everything comes from us. We also pay for the kit. We pay for polo shirts that they wear. We pay for any marketing, any lead generation, any mailers. They can come to us with ideas, yard signs, everything that they want or think that will help them. They'll present it to us, and then we pay for everything. But and phones as well. So
that's my management perspective for those of you on the call, because a lot of people on this call are going to be salespeople, and they're listening to this and they're saying, okay, how come my company is not paying for all of that? So what I need to say is from your perspective, from a management perspective, from an owner's perspective, I think it's really critical to keep those things exactly as you're saying, to make sure that everything that is going out is approved. Now, you know, when I was in sales, like I said, I used the literature. I would send a letter out or as Jen was saying, I would do things with realtors and write a letter individually, but they had pretty good literature for us to hand out that I liked. The thing with literature that comes from a manufacturer is usually manufacturer's literature is written by, you know, made up by some marketing person that has never actually sold a water softener or a drinking water system. And so you can't expect the piece of literature to sell your stuff anyway. I would use it just as a handout. You know, some people want an introduction to the company. They want to know that you have something there. If you work for a company where they don't have that or you want something specific, I think it's really critical that messaging stay consistent and that you make sure that you are getting anything that you're handing out there approved to make sure that it, exactly as Elaine's saying, that it meets the WQA ethical standards and the message that you want to portray by your company. From a salesperson's perspective, I think you have a choice. And to answer your question, Jen, you know, in terms of commission, you know, why shouldn't you get an hourly wage? My thought is if you want to go work somewhere where you get an hourly wage, you should go work somewhere where you get an hourly wage. I mean, there are a lot of sales jobs out there we talk about realtors. Realtors don't get anything. I mean, realtors are all independent contractors. They all own their own businesses. Okay, they are straight commission sales. And when you see a sign out there or a business card or a billboard, that is paid for by the realtor. Now, sometimes the broker may offer some co-op or some, you know, assistance to help do that. They may give them some tools like a website or whatever, but any of the marketing stuff, any of the stuff that they use, that's all they're doing. So I think it depends on the type of company that you have and the type of job that you want to do. I mean, with the benefits that come from this type of job, you know, it's the highest paid jobs, generally speaking, are the ones with the most risk. Okay. And, you know, that's if those people that are out there wanting to make the highest incomes are the ones that need to go out there and create, you know, that are willing to do what it takes to create. But I think there has to be a balance. I think you have to, like I said, stay on the messaging and make sure that you're abiding by WQA's code of ethics. And if you have a good company that's managed properly, then there shouldn't be a problem going to them and saying, you know, can I do this? You know, does this meet the messaging? And, you know, what I used to do, Jen, you may remember that when somebody came to me and said something like that, I would say, well, I'll split it with you. You know, well, you do this, you make those, and if it's not something we normally do and you feel strong, I mean, sometimes we would just cover it, but sometimes I would say, okay, that's a little unusual. We'll split it with 50-50, you know. But that was because, you know, we had a two-tiered pay structure. You're doing that stuff. There was meaning you got paid a higher percentage for creative leads, for leads that were that you generated on your own. So that basically offset the kind of the hourly thing. You got extra money for leads that you brought in, right? As opposed to somebody that has a flat, you know, kind of a flat rate. And I would say, I would argue that if you have a base salary, it's kind of the same thing. And Elaine, for your people, I would argue that, you know, all the benefits that you give them, I don't know if you give them commission or base or anything like that. We don't have to talk about that. But the, you know, all the benefits that you offer has value to it. So you have every right to ask them to participate in some of that. You know, whether you do or not, I think if the company provides those benefits, if it's different than what the, you know, than a realtor who is responsible for all of those things, if they provide anything at all, whether it's a base or you know, a benefit package, I think it's reasonable to ask a salesperson to do more than just go talk in front of customers. I mean, that's the sales part where you're actually sitting in front of a customer and presenting the product. That's not what this job is. Not if we're going to go out there and create business. There's a lot more to, you know, that's like saying that miniature golf is golfing. You know, if you can putt really, really, really well, but you're horrible at getting to the green, you're going to have a horrible score. You know, this, when we're looking at people in this job, we're looking at the entire package, you know, what they're capable of doing from the time they tee off to the time they put it in the hole. That's my opinion, Jen. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
We have a quiet group today.
Yeah, there is, yeah. So I would say, though, even if you don't have the company there that is requiring you to have everything approved, I would definitely share anything that you make, any letter that you type, any email you type, share it with one of your teammates. Have them take a look at it. Number one, they can check for typos. Even I can go over things 20 times and send it to Jen to review, and she'll say, oh, you left the, you know, you left the R off the word your, so it's like you, you know, which makes it look really grammatically incorrect, and spell check didn't catch it, you know, so have them check it. And you want to make sure your company is professional, but also, you know, if you're wondering if it meets the WQA code of ethics, send it over to WQA and let them review it, you know, and let them take a look at it and make sure that it follows the best practices or WQA code of ethics. They'd be happy to do that. They want that. But even if it's just amongst your teammates, get their opinion. You know, maybe it makes total sense to you, but you're reading something you know, you got to remember that when you're putting this stuff together, you're putting it together for people that have no familiarity with what we do often. You know, they have no experience with water treatment, you know, with any of the stuff. So, any thoughts? Do you guys, I mean, so this has been me, Jen, and Elaine, basically. Anybody else, like, in a situation where they do their own stuff, or how do you feel about it? Do you think you should, shouldn't? What do you think?
Hi, Kelly. It's Maria.
Hey, Maria. I was
You're not
you
alone.
Because you were, I really was. I was hoping that you would jump in here. Go ahead.
Me personally, I you know, I will do whatever I can to help the team, whether it's, you know, if you want me to help unload a truck, I'll try to do that. Whatever I can do to, I mean, again, whether I'm being paid for it or not, even, you know, helping out other people, or it's part of the whole experience. It's part of who you want to be. If you want to help people and support people, that's what you do. You know, I do make my own stuff. I've been scolded for it, but, you know, spending my own money. But, again, for the most part, you know, you try to make the business yours. Does that help?
Yeah.
See, you're not wrong.
I think you have the right attitude there, Maria. Just the willingness to do whatever it takes to help. It's a team effort. I agree with that.
So devil's advocate here, and I know we only have a couple minutes, but a little bit of devil's advocate is, do you think that sometimes if you continue to keep giving, that sometimes they're going to, first off, expect it from you, and second, even though they said it was only going to be temporary, and second off, do you think that they're going to keep asking for more, and when you're doing all those more, that it's taking you out of the field for creating your own business? Do you think that's a possibility? And how do you handle that? So,
I'm going to answer that just in short and concise, and I'm going to make it sound, it may be too short and concise for this, but in definitive. But when I hear that, I think, okay, if you're in any relationship, whether it's a professional relationship or a personal relationship, if you feel that you are giving to that relationship far more than you're getting out of it than the other party is giving, then you have the choice of whether the choice is very simple. You either, if you are the kind of person who gives and is willing to do everything, anything, and then you're going to be able to provide value anywhere you choose. And if your partner, like I said, professional or personal, doesn't see that, then and doesn't recognize that, then they can't be surprised when you make a choice. You can choose to either stay or go, okay, and you know, offer that value to somewhere else. It, like I said, it has to be a team effort. That a team effort doesn't mean that it's just the employee giving and giving and giving. It's also the company showing that appreciation. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, you can decide whether that's acceptable to you or not acceptable. I know. In Maria's case, I know that people, you know, I happen to know the company that she's at, and I know that her efforts and energy and the desire and all of that is absolutely recognized and appreciated. But, and I appreciate you, Maria, just so you know. so do the other individuals that
I do too, Maria.
Yeah. So.
Aw, group hug.
But I think that's what it comes down to, Jen, is that I don't think that should affect whether or not you do it. Okay. In fact, I think you're entering into stinking thinking there. If you think that if you're only giving to the company, or you're not willing to give to the company because you don't like what they're going to do for you, or that you don't think they're going to appreciate it, I think that now you're going down a path that's not genuine and sincere. And suddenly, I don't that makes me uncomfortable. So that's and to end on a positive note, I think team effort, group hug, hopefully, you know, they people can work
in partnership with the places they work with and the teammates they have. So, final thoughts? Okay. Talk to you guys next week, if not before. Thank you very much, everybody. We will talk to you then. Be safe.
Take care.